Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is something Bree is no stranger to, delusions.
I was like, if you listened to the last episode, you know that I suggested this as a topic. And Sean has continuously told me that he doesn't have delusions to share because he's not a delusional person. So I think one of my delusions to kick this off might be that I think everyone else is as delusional as I am.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can plug our shit first before we get into
it. Okay. Well, on command, here we go.
Talk about delusion.
Talk about delusion. The delusion is that we think some of you might actually listen to this and help us
follow.
Out.
Yeah.
But for real, if you're listening, if you enjoy this podcast, wherever you're listening, if you don't mind giving us a 5-star rating, 5 stars only. What? Oh, I'm smacking the table while I say I'm very passionate about 5 stars only. Follow, subscribe, wherever it is you're listening. Share this with a friend. And you can also go find us on social media at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. If you head over to our Instagram bio at I Can Explain Podcast, click the link. There is our merch link there as well as our Patreon. And we want to give a shout out to some extra special patrons, Aiden, Olivia, Liz, Serena, and Amanda. Thank you so much for your support. And to all our patrons, we appreciate you. And today, actually, we're recording our 3rd bonus episode for Patreon. So that's going to be a juicy one. And that's going to be up this coming week. And there's already 2 up there. So if you go join Patreon, then Patreon.
If you become a patron on Patreon.
Yes, exactly. Then you get 2 episodes right away.
Yes.
With the juicy tea.
The last one will be juicy tea. The others are about MLMs.
Are just
and
garbage.
More question and answers.
But you know what? You're used to it. You're used to it. I think they're funny and they're entertaining. And I feel like we're going to, you know what? I'm down to make the Patreon bonus episodes a little juicier than we might do on here.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that we're going to talk about here. Should I just fucking, I'm not going to use some people's names.
Yes.
But on the Patreon, maybe I'll tag them. I'll give you their social insurance.
Their name.
Their name.
Yes.
Yeah, we might call them live on air.
Yes.
Just kidding.
So are we?
When we were talking about delusion, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about how, first of all, I think there is a healthy amount of delusion.
Yes.
And I struggle with, when I said I don't really have delusions, mm-hmm. that in itself is a delusion.
There's layers.
There
dreams
are
within
layers.
Dreams, delusions within
Inception,
delusions.
Inception, yeah. All in this bitch. But some of my delusion, which is a delusion in itself, is that I feel like I'm not delusional because I don't stop until I get the thing that I want.
Can't stop till I get enough.
Can't stop till I get everything I want. So, you know, that could be just one giant
yes.
delusion, but I'm also determined.
Yeah, I think you're more determined. I think I've always been a dreamer.
Delusional.
Which is a nice way to say delusional.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think, like, if you talk to a lot of people in this world that have, like, accomplished crazy big things, right? Most of them had to be, to a certain extent, delusional.
Yeah.
Because, for example, think of the most famous, like, movie star that anyone...
Shia LaBeouf. Can...
Sure. Okay. So anyone out there, famous movie star, famous TV star, wherever. Like, arguably, anyone going into that industry, right?
Yeah.
You're told consistently that it's like 0.00001% of people are going to actually, like, get famous or, like, make a living off of it or whatever. So to go for that, you have to be delusional to a certain point. But if you don't go for it, it would never happen. So in some ways, it, like, helps drive people.
Right.
And it's only delusional until it happens.
Then it's reality.
So that's the thing, is because delusional people always, like, it's like the eye roll. Everyone knows that person in their high school that, you know, walked around the hallways fucking singing. And you're like, shut up, Kathy.
Shut up, Rachel Berry.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just like, oh, my God. And they're like, oh, I'm going to be a singer. You're like, okay. And it's like, it's always an eye roll until it happens. And then
yes.
all of a sudden that person... And in those dynamics, like, for example, in the high school walls, it's ironic to me that at the same time people are huge fans and stanning these famous TV actors or musicians, they're also rolling their eyes at the, like, drama kids or, like, choir kids that think they can be it. And it's like, those people that you're fans of had to also think that way at some point.
Right.
And probably were called delusional at some point. And it's not to say that, like, there's a certain level of delusion that's true. Like, the reason, it's because it's really rare that it will actually happen. But when it does, then all of a sudden, it's success and not delusion.
Yeah. I don't know if yours is delusion, though. Because Lauren and I, okay. My roommate Lauren and I, have talked about this before.
Okay.
That we hate you. And then the conversation usually goes to why, blah, blah, blah. One of those reasons is...
One of the many tears, yeah.
You are delusional. You are for sure delusional.
Yes.
But you're the kind of delusional that I don't question because it always works for you. You're, like, so persistent in your delusion.
Yes.
That you wait until everybody else's delusion is just yours. Like, with take your short film, for example. You had no fucking clue what you were doing.
No.
And instead of sweating that you had no fucking clue what you were doing, you just trudged on.
Yeah.
And everybody, I remember you talking about all the people that you would reach out to.
Yes.
Being like, this bitch is insane.
Yes.
But once you got a few people that were on board, mm-hmm. you just kept trucking along. And I think you confused and convinced them enough
that yes.
they were like, she knows what she's doing. And then it worked out in the end.
This is what I'm saying. I'm the queen of fake it till I make it.
Like, fully. And that is something that I don't have that kind of delusion.
Right.
I'm delusional in different, yeah, very different ways than you, I think.
Yeah.
But yours is like, you don't take no for an answer. You just
yeah.
keep trucking until your delusion becomes
reality.
You know
why I think it works for me, too? And I know I jokingly said fake it till you make it, but why it's different is, like, I think it's going to work, too.
No, that's
it would be,
the delusion.
That's the delusion. It's not like I'm, like, fake it till I make it. Like, I know this is crazy, but, like, if I convince everyone around me that it's not blah, 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 I don't even know that it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, why can't I accomplish that? Like, that seems like something I can accomplish. And everyone else is like, you're nuts. And I'm like, no, you're wrong, because I'm going to show you. And then that drives me more. So, like, my delusion, in a sense, the backlash to my delusion drives me further.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I am delusional. Like, when I think about a lot of things, especially because most of the time when you do something, like anything, right? If you're delusional and you obtain a goal, then when you look back on it, you're like, oh my God, when I started this, I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
So then that's when I'm aware of my delusion.
Yeah.
I'm like almost not aware until I look back.
See, your delusion and force in life is something that I wish I had, because even things like starting this podcast,
right.
if I hadn't had your delusion backing it,
right.
because I was like, let's start a podcast. That was
yes.
me. But then
yes.
in my mind, I was like, oh, you know, it's like nobody's going to. And you were like,
yeah.
3 million listens, 3 million a day, 3 million listens.
Most
a
famous
day.
Podcast.
And
in
we're
the
not
world.
There yet, but with your delusion, I feel like maybe one day we could be.
We could be there.
Yeah.
You just jumped aboard the delusion train and you're rolling along with me. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So
I
wish I did have that, because I have such bad anxiety that my
yes.
delusions are often sidetracked by my anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this all started for me. I was actually talking to my sister about this, because I did not used to be this way at all, because I used to talk myself out of everything, or like be kind of fear-based about decisions. And when I was in first year college, I was taking this business course, blah, blah. They were like, oh, do these 18 tests that are like those personality tests.
Yeah.
We were supposed to compare
results.
Yours
just said delusional.
Yeah. All of them. All yeah. 18 came back delusional. No, there was this one that was like, I'm going to get this wrong, but it was like doer, thinker,
delusioner.
No, it was like questioner and dreamer or something like that.
Okay.
Right? So my whole life until this point, I genuinely thought that I was a doer, right? And when I did this test, it was like very clear. I was like 100% a dreamer and not a doer. And then I had this moment of like taking a step back and being like, whoa, that's actually true. Because when I think about anything that I've really like thought would be cool to do in my life, I haven't actually made any steps forward on it. I'm just a big dreamer. Like I think about ideas and I have a lot of ideas. I think I'm internally very creative about like what I could accomplish in life, where I could go next. But then that to me, I perceived that as me doing something just by thinking about it. But I didn't realize that I was just dreaming it and not actually like making any steps forward. So I literally was like, okay, I've got to start doing some of these things. And I realized that a big part of me not actually doing them was because I was worried about looking dumb to people while trying to do them. And I think like that goes back to my earlier example of like choir kids. Like, you look dumb until you're fucking Ariana Grande. You know what I mean? Like, it's the world is shitty in that way. Like, the world somehow relates success and money to, like, okay, now it's cool that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas when you're just doing it because you're passionate about it, somehow you look dumb. Right? So that was, like, a big part of my worry. It was very sensitive to people's opinions. So I was like, how can I do things without worrying about that? And that's when I learned the behavior that you're very aware of as my friend, of doing things and not telling anyone about it until it's done.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, then I can't get any backlash. I just do it.
Yeah, you can't get sidetracked either.
I can't get sidetracked. I can't talk myself out of it based on people's reactions.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm very, like, not even like I wouldn't get bad reactions for things, but like one example that I thought of was, I remember when I was like 14, and I brought this up the other day actually on the podcast about wanting to learn guitar. And I told one of my friends, oh, I think I'm going to start guitar. And she said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to do guitar too, but like everyone says once you're past the age of 7, it's like really impossible to start learning. Like,
maybe just, you're trying to be like a prodigy.
Yes, but she also, like, she's another 14-year-old. Where'd she even get this fact? Who fucking knows? She just like spewed this out. And she wasn't even trying to say it in like a talk down to me way. She just said this random sentence. And I literally didn't start guitar because I talked myself out of it based on her reaction.
Yeah.
And like I said on that other podcast, I would fucking know how to play guitar right now if I didn't talk myself out of that.
Thank God you don't, though. You'd be
so
annoying. Can you imagine
a segment, a guitar segment?
You'd be
so
annoying.
Where I just like a little tunes with Brie.
Like, you would be that dude at a campfire in a beanie
every time
singing Wonderwall.
Oh my God, every day. I'd be like that idiot at a party who shows up and it's like a lady.
Fine, I'll play. Guys, I'll play.
Fine, guys. Yeah. I just happened to bring my guitar along.
Do you
want to
hear Wonderwall?
No, literally, that's me. But yeah, so I was just like, I realized a lot of my fear was based on people's reactions around me, whether they meant it to be judgmental or not. I was very sensitive to the way people would react about my like dream or ideas.
Yeah.
So I just stopped asking and I just stopped running things by people. I just started doing it. And then I'm very conscious in the way I bring up things with people. Like, I'm like, hey, so I am doing this, or I did this, or like, I've been working on this for 6 months and now it's starting next week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because I just know myself. It's not even about other people. Like, other people could be the most supportive people ever, but I just will talk myself out about something based on like people's like fine pointed facial expressions that they don't even notice that they're doing. Like, I just pick up on little things.
Yeah.
And so I would talk myself out of it. So I'm like, my way to be delusional and soar through this is by just keeping my delusion in a bubble and
waiting for Lady Gaga to respond to your DM.
Okay, and once again, if Lady Gaga responded to my DMs, then would I be delusional anymore if she was at my pride party?
No.
Then I would all of a sudden have Lady Gaga at my pride party. You gotta try.
Well, you know, you're still trying. She could check her messages years later.
Well, I already deleted it because I guess I was embarrassed. Remember, I looked it up and tried to find it.
Right.
But I'll try again once the world opens up. If she's touring, I'll just give it another whirl.
Yeah.
I'm like, probably got like 10,000 more followers now. So like, maybe she'll be more intrigued. She probably might think it'd be really good for her like clout, for like her reputation.
Yeah.
To come to like my party, you know?
Totally. Just to seem relatable. Once again, the star is reborn.
He's
like, I'm getting a little too crazy with these Gucci movies. I think I should probably go to some sad lesbian's house party.
No, it's actually true. Now that I'm thinking about it, next time I'm not going to do a casual invite. I'm going to do a pitch of why I think this is good for her career, which is being just an everyday gal, you know?
I think she's past that.
I don't think so. I think she wants to bring it back.
I think
she wants
the Oscars kind of.
Just the really, the fun. Every celebrity I feel like loves being that fun person. Like Taylor Swift just popped up at a drag bar, you know? Like,
right.
Oh, she's
I think
fun
like,
and fresh
I
to
think
be a little,
the Oscars
like...
and the Chromatica Oreos probably. I think she's past that point.
Okay, but maybe in like 2 years, she might want to loop back.
Maybe, yeah.
You know?
She could have like a back to roots kind of moment.
Back to roots moment. Yeah. Just at like a regular house party before. For pride, making
like,
out
I need
with
to find
me.
The saddest lesbian. That'll bring my image right let's back
look,
down.
Let's look through my DMs for the most delusional yeah. bitch I can find.
But okay, so you got to this point of your delusions basically being a reality out of force.
Yeah.
Do you have delusions from childhood or delusions that you used to have, like messaging Lady Gaga, that never came to light? What are some of your grandest delusions?
My grandest delusions?
Yeah.
Oh, well, when I was younger, I thought I was going to be on Broadway.
You literally can't sing.
No, I can't. No. I literally can't sing. But when I was younger, the thing is, when I was younger, I believed I could.
Right.
I would write songs and, like, perform them for my parents.
Okay.
I still have, like, some old notebooks at my parents' house of, like, songs that I wrote that I thought were going to be Broadway hits. Like, I was not only going right. to be on Broadway,
you
but I was going to, like...
You were going to be Broadway.
I was going to be Broadway. And I was pretty certain of that one. Like, and that one... That one bled into high school. Like, that wasn't, like, a really young delusion. Like, there were a few years in high school there that I thought Broadway's the spot for me. Because I loved watching Broadway.
Right. And then the talent just wasn't there.
Yeah, which so. Is it's something they don't really tell you a lot, that you also need talent.
Yeah, you need to sing
to be there.
Sing the songs.
To sing the songs. I thought my gusto might have been enough, but...
Yeah. It's a loss on that one.
I actually thought I thought I could sing a reasonable level for quite a long time. Like, I remember when I first met Julia, I had stopped thinking I could sing, like, well. Because in high school, I thought I was a good singer.
Yeah.
Okay, I really thought
I think
was good.
Everybody thinks they're a good singer in high school.
That's true. But I also, like, I auditioned for the jazz choir. I got the jazz choir. And then I got multiple solos.
Okay,
so I'm like, how bad
was
everyone
let,
else?
I'm going to let you in on a secret right now. I'm going to break your delusion.
Other people didn't make it. Don't tell me everyone made it. Other people didn't make it.
There's, like... They let in 50 people to choir, and maybe they cut four of them.
No, jazz choir was a small select group. It was about 16 people.
Did you have solos?
I had solos, and I auditioned for them, and I had solos. Heard it through the grapevine. Never heard a voice like this, okay?
I would love if anybody can... If anybody can...
Bring in Bob.
Anonymous.
Don.
Da-na-na. I also think this ties directly into that TikTok trend of people, what we talked about last time, the waking up in the morning.
Yes.
Somebody posted videos from their high school performance.
I saw this when they made a Glee Club.
The Glee Club and the one of the guy doing High School Musical.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And hearing them all suck so badly. Just, of course you got into jazz choir.
No, that's my thing. I'm like, everyone else must have been real bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because I was like, I must be really good because I'm getting a solo.
No.
So anyways, that one I carried quite late into life.
Okay.
And I remember I was still kind of clinging to it, and I met Julia, and like, we were like singing in the car when we like first were dating, right? She was driving me home, and I was like singing along to
da-da-da.
One of those frames. Come on, Julia, sing like da-da-da-da. Like that.
Yeah.
And she started laughing. And I was like, what are you laughing at? And she's like, it's so cute.
What are you
cute.
Laughing at? My formal jazz choir training?
Yeah. And she's like, it's so cute that you just go for it. And I was like,
what
does
do mean,
that
go
mean?
For it? You mean hit the note?
What are you trying to get at here? And she was like laughing. Like, she couldn't stop laughing. And that was like a hard day.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that really brought me down to reality.
This, I relate to this deeply, mm-hmm. not because I was in choir. I can't sing. I didn't try out for it. This was in elementary school.
Yeah.
They let me in because I was a warm body.
Yeah.
But my roommate consistently says that the meanest thing I've ever said to her was when I told her she couldn't sing.
See, because that's mean. Because it's you don't want to break people's illusions like that. Unless they're about to go on American Idol, and then it's like, don't put them in that ring.
Here's the thing. I live with the bitch.
Yeah, and you don't want to hear her sing.
I'm going to break that delusion right away.
I thought Lauren could... I don't have much of an ear, I guess, but I thought Lauren could sing pretty well.
No.
Like, I've heard her, like, you know...
No. Yeah, well, like when we were drunk in the park and she said she was classically trained. And I was like, by who? Helen Keller? Pop vocalist Helen Keller.
One of my faves.
So, yeah. I broke that delusion pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. So you're maybe not delusional, but you're a dream killer is what we're
going
with.
I'm certainly a dream killer.
A dream killer.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that vibe.
Hey, Gabers. Today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
I don't know if I'm delusional.
Like, did you ever, like, have
I think I'm far too much of a realist.
Yeah.
Like, my goals, some of my goals, if I was to, like, say them out loud to someone, they might seem unrealistic,
right.
But I only have them as a goal because I've mapped out every rung of the ladder to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
See, me, I lay in bed at night and I just...
You're building the ladder as you go.
I'm thinking about, like, the stuff that you, if you saw the inside of my brain, that I imagine is going to happen in my life.
Yeah.
Is
Broadway still beyond, is probably in there.
Still da, in there. You never know. I'm thinking maybe if I get a few little classes in, little vocal training.
Right. When Gaga comes to your party, she can probably give you vocal lessons as well.
She'll give me a few little tips.
She's already there. BOGO, you know?
There you go. And she comes dressed as Joe Biden to my birthday.
My favorite.
Oh my God. For people that didn't listen to the last episode, this whole thing's really not going to make much sense.
Even if you did, it's not going to make any fucking sense.
I have another delusional thing that I thought about for years.
Okay.
Okay. This is very much like big fish, small pond, small fish, big ocean vibe.
What?
Have you ever heard about this? Okay.
That hurt my
brain.
So
you know when you're like...
I also try not to think about the ocean.
Yeah.
I hate the ocean.
Space, the ocean.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
The afterlife.
Oh my God. Disgusting.
I'm disgusted by all of
your... Yeah, it's so gross.
All possible things.
Yeah.
Okay, so like this is the thing that they used to tell us a lot when I... was in dance when I was younger. They were like, yeah, like a big part of traveling, why it's important to go travel and compete or put yourself in competitions that you know are maybe out of your league is because it's really easy in a dance school of, you know, 300 dancers to feel like you're really good at something because maybe you're just like top 10 in that school.
So they were speaking to you directly.
This is a one-on-one.
Just so you know, sometimes some people feel like because they're in jazz choir, they're very good at jazz choir. But
oh, I just had a flashback. I remember I got a part in a play singing. It was a pantomime because and the person who auditioned
like the one
me,
at the church.
No, this one was downtown. Auditioned me and said that.
Vancouver having
me.
Two pantomimes?
Yeah,
is it the church
pantomime.
One or is it the downtown one?
It's the downtown version. They auditioned me and said that they booked me because they could tell how much I loved to sing.
See, that is that's the, a backhanded
that's
compliment
thing.
Right there.
That is. You suck, but you looked really happy and we wanted to give you
that's
a
like,
shot.
If you auditioned as a dancer and they were like, we really liked how much fun you were having.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got a lot of participation trophies.
I'm sure you did.
Da, 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 da,
I feel like
da.
Participation.
You're having fun. This is nice. No, so because it's easy to feel like a big fish in a small pond.
Right.
Right? And then all of a sudden, you, like, I think we see it on Drag Race a lot. All of a sudden, they go from being the big fish in the small pond, which is their local city.
I see what
okay?
you're saying.
And then all of a sudden, they're a small fish in a big ocean, which is Drag Race, where they have, like, the best of the best from all over the place. And they're like, what the hell? My delusion is I thought I was going to come here and win every competition because
right.
I am the most booked drag performer in my city.
Yeah, it's like you're the best drag queen in fucking Missouri.
Yeah,
but, like,
exactly.
What about so, North America?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think that that is, like, I think that a lot of my younger self delusions had to do with
had
that.
Missouri mindset.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the jazz choir, me getting a solo. It's like, was I actually good or was I just not?
The only one that wanted a solo.
Yeah. The only one who showed up to fucking audition for
yeah,
that solo.
Yeah. The only child
yeah.
that didn't have crippling stage fright
yes,
and enough
so true.
Delusion that
exactly.
if they gave them a solo, they would still
honestly,
perform
looking
it.
Looking back, they probably, honestly, that was probably what it was because they're like, we know she won't
no,
choke.
I know.
Like, she'll choke in the sense that she'll suck.
But she doesn't know
but
it.
But she doesn't know it, so she'll get through it. Like, she won't panic.
No.
Oh, I went out there sore, and vocals were coming out of my windpipes like nobody ever heard. Woo! Actually, after one of my jazz choir performances, afterwards I came off stage, and I said to my mom and my dad, they were there with their other two friends, and it was like this, like, jazz choir, jazz band performance night where they, like, made the gym over into, like, a cabaret thing.
Okay.
And parents could, like, buy bottles of wine, and it was, like, to fundraise kind
so they
of
all
thing.
Had to drink to listen to you sing is what you're saying.
So my mom and dad and her my parents' friends would like there and like had some wine and stuff, so they were like, you know,
you came off stage all of them unconscious.
I came off stage and I was like, oh my god, like I did my solo. I was expecting them to be like, it was so good, and they were like, yeah. And I was like,
sweetie, you did.
But see, nothing phases me like at that age, nothing phased me. Like, I still thought I was good. You would have had to really directly tell me. And then later
you
in life...
You still think you were good. Right now.
Da, da. Na, da. No, and then later in life, like, maybe, like, 16 to 23,
okay.
I got very sensitive to people's responses.
Yeah.
And then I just decided I just won't give the people a chance to respond, and I will be a famous Broadway performer.
That's the thing is, like, I think that I had delusions as a child, but they just get broken down over time. Like, you,
yeah.
I think I didn't really have a ton of, I mean.
But that's why you just have to readjust.
I know. I need to get just.
You need to get a little more delusional.
Yeah.
It's really freeing. Once you do it, it's like the first one's the scariest, and then you get through one, and you're like, oh, it actually kind of pays to be a little delusional.
No, I think there's a healthy amount of delusion.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Especially...
You definitely walk that line.
I walk that line for sure.
Yeah.
I walk that line. I'm a little nuts.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've tried some fun things in my life because of being a little delusional. Here's a recent one that's happening to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, I think I've talked about this on the podcast, how I'm doing, like, some acting auditions and stuff like that. Have I?
Yeah,
I don't
you
really
have,
remember.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for once, I don't really remember what I've talked about.
You?
Who, me? And... Yeah, so that was one of those things, like, when I was, like, a teenager, I was in drama, I wanted to do, it was, like, maybe when I was, like, 16, and then, like, it was kind of that age where I was, like, worried I was gonna look like a loser to try and do that, because,
yeah.
like we talked about earlier, until you're famous, everyone makes fun of you for trying to do something like that. So I never did it. And then all of a sudden, like, my COVID quarantine crisis set in. And I was reaching out to, like, agents in Vancouver. And I got an agent, okay? But this is not without, like, emailing a lot of agents. I think I emailed almost every agency in Vancouver, like, 4 times.
Yeah, psychotic.
Like next level.
Yeah.
But once again, got the job done. I got an agent. It was great. Actually, the last time I had 2 agents reach out back to me, which I had gone, like, multiple rounds of emails over months of time.
Yeah.
With no
bypassed
response.
Many a please delete this.
Absolutely. Please never speak to me again.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so I got a response from a couple agents. I picked one. And then I was doing auditions and stuff, and I booked a role. Here's my delusion now. Here's my delusion. I'm confused why I don't book every role.
Right.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because I send in the tape, and I'm like, that's it.
No, that's the problem.
That's the tape. I send it in, and I look, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, great. They don't have to waste any more time.
Like, you were looking for a 14-year-old redheaded boy, and I am right here. And I'm a little lost about why I'm not booking this.
Yeah. Me calling my agent, just like, did you get any feedback? Yeah. I'm a little confused. But yeah, so that's
Scarlett Johansson to every role.
Yes.
You wanted an Asian woman, and I am Scarlett Johansson. So
I'm confused.
This seems like a perfect match.
So yeah, no, I am definitely, that's my new delusional thing.
Okay.
And that's something that I feel like has been a really good, like, check for me, because it's something usually, usually in most of my delusions, because I consider myself an entrepreneur and a go-getter, I make it happen for myself.
Right.
So it gives me the opportunity to kind of go a little overboard, because I'm like, I can just work harder, I can just do more, I can just not sleep for 3 weeks, I'll get this done. With this is something in my life that's structured that, like, I cannot change the outcome.
Thank God.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't. You know, trust me, late at night, I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I make my own feature film? Because then I could book myself.
Yeah.
But this is how delusional I am. I think of ways around it. I'm like that. Normal people would sit there and go, I hope I get a role. And one day, can you imagine if I was in a movie? I think, well, how can I make
a movie?
How do
I own a movie studio?
Yes. And then I could book myself for a movie.
Right.
There's always another door, you know? There's always a way around.
Yours is, like, full. You just bypass other people's delusions. Some people's delusions are like, oh, I would love if I could act and, like, get in a commercial. Yours is like, how do I own every movie on Earth?
Exactly.
And then CGI my face on every role that's ever existed.
Oh my God, like Taylor Swift recreating her album, but I just recreate every movie that's ever existed, but it's just me?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Oh, Jesus.
Can they sue you for that? It's like a cover. It's a cover song. You can't be sued for that.
I will help them sue you for that in some way.
All right, Gabers, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about a company that Sean and I both love. It's called Care Of, and it's a customized vitamin plan that delivers right to your door. The vitamins are super high quality, and they're individually wrapped, which makes it really easy to get into routine of taking daily vitamins. I personally think it's a cool little victory for the new year. It's something for yourself, and it's catered to your unique health needs by taking their online quiz at takecareof.com. The quiz is fun. It's inclusive. It only takes 5 minutes. It asks you all sorts of questions about your own health goals and you personally, which means you get a customized vitamin plan for your needs. So for 50% off of your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code EXPLAIN50. Again, for 50% off your first Care Of order, you can go to takecareof.com and enter code EXPLAIN50.
I also think there's, like, a weird delusion that I experienced as a queer person.
Mm-hmm.
That when I got past, like, the sadness and the fear of coming out,
okay,
I was convinced that I was going to be so fascinating because I was gay.
Right. You thought you were going to be really unique because of it.
Yeah. I was like, I'm the one gay person in Canada.
Yes. Yeah.
And now, obviously, some people are going to hate me, but everybody's going to love me.
Yes.
And then sometimes I'm still like, oh, a lot of people don't like gays. You know?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. I think there's a big part of the queer experience that is that, especially, like, same with me, like, growing up, like, in the school I went to, in the friends group I was in, I was, like, the only out gay person, the first person came out, so it was very much like I was a standalone, and for some reasons I did not like that, but for other reasons it's like at least I felt like I was like something, you know. And then it's like, oh,
jazz choir gay and lesbian, that's
between
all you
being a famous Broadway performer and the only lesbian in the world. I felt pretty special. Oh, the one role I thought that I was gonna book for sure is Elphaba.
Right. Well, you weren't green, so you're fucked.
Well, I can get there. eat enough broccoli. Yeah, there.
I just think, like, it's like that weird, I don't know how to describe it. It's that weird thing that a lot of the gay characters in shows that were main characters is what I kind of saw myself as. Like the Jacks, like all those, you know, every time it would be like a white, kind of sarcastic, skinny gay. I was like, that's going to be me.
Right.
And then you realize that like every white gay is the exact same.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I'm not this rare breed. I'm just obnoxious.
100%. 100%.
There's too many of me.
Yes.
You know?
I remember one of the first girls I dated, she was like, I use the term dated loosely because she lived in a different place and was very quick. It was a Tumblr-esque thing. And she was like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's so crazy because like on Tumblr, like basically if you're like pretty and you're out, like everyone's gonna love you, right? Like it seemed so easy to get like a girlfriend or like validation or anything like that. And then you very quickly learned like there's like so many pretty people in the world, and there's so many funny people, and there's so many talented people, and there's so many charismatic people, and so many people are also having to be gay, and it's like that's not gonna get you far enough. It's not it. But I think that's normal for like queer people to feel, because for so much of your life that is such a big like part of your brain. Like it takes up so much of your thought process of like, how am I gonna come out? How am I gonna get over this hurdle? Who am I? So your who am I becomes your queerness in a sense, because you're constantly daily dealing with like how you're gonna navigate that, how you're gonna label yourself, if you're gonna label yourself, when you're gonna come out, how you're gonna do it, da-da-da-da. It becomes so much of your story that it's hard that once that's done, it's almost like, okay, well now who am I besides that?
Right.
It's hard to, like, peel back those layers.
Yeah.
And feel special just because you're you.
I also think this has a direct correlation to a Justin Bieber fight.
Mm.
So let's bring it back there.
Okay.
I think it's also, this is, like, maybe a negative turn for this, but I think it's also easy for us to, like, sit here and talk about our delusions, but we're also cis white people.
Yes, 100%.
And it's like society allows us to have these delusions.
100%, 100%.
And that's how I feel about Justin Bieber. I feel like, you know, you talk about the star power and all this shit. And I get he drummed when he was four, whatever. But it's like, this is how I feel about male pop stars.
Yes.
White male pop stars. They are told that they are the most magical creatures on earth.
Right.
Harry Styles wears a boa once and he's breaking gender down.
Right.
He's just, you know, the most iconic. Mm-hmm. Gender is not an issue
they
for him.
They have to
him.
Do the like, least to get the most praise.
Exactly. And like, that's what, I don't know, it's just such a weird thing. Society isn't constantly telling us that we can't do things, so in our minds, we can do anything.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, like The Weeknd performing at the Super Bowl halftime.
Right.
We texted after that. And I was just like totally rattled by it because I was just like, this is just insulting to everything,
this
in my
is
opinion.
Just insulting to the
like,
weekdays.
It's just like, I was just. I'm just like, how is it fair, honestly, that there's like this pressure for like female Super Bowl performers for like you have to learn like 5 minutes of choreography and you have to be dropping from the ceiling and you're doing flips and there's cannons shooting you in the air and you're blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then The Weeknd literally goes up there and just like ran through a tunnel and I was like, what's happening.
He ran through a tunnel.
No outfit changes, no thought to the outfits, ran through a fucking tunnel, looked lost.
He ran through
a
tunnel, and then there were people with facial bandages on, and they were like, well, you don't get it, because he is talking about the constant pressure of Hollywood and how it's so focused on plastic surgery and he needs to break through that. And I'm like, he is a man.
Yeah.
There is not one time in his life that he has faced the pressure of having facial surgery like women are constantly told that they have to do.
And also, so it's like, done by so many women before.
Drag queens constantly. It's something that we've seen.
Lady Gaga. Has been done.
Like, shut up.
Like, is it a Katy Perry music video? There's some music video where they're laying there, like, they're on their body, it's drawn on, like, pieces of meat. Like, I don't remember which pop star is, but it's just been done. Like, people are reaching at this point to make it mean something. What happened is a male performer got booked and he stood on fucking stage and ran around a bit and made $50 million.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off, honestly. I can't stand that. Because, like, also there's a time and a place. I'm not saying every performer needs to be a massive performer, like, when it comes to elaborate, like, showmanship and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, the halftime show is a show.
Yeah. But it's a show. Think about how little Justin Bieber would do.
But Justin Bieber dances.
He would give some choreo.
Justin Bieber dances.
You know he'd be wearing his own merch in a beanie and a hoodie.
Okay, true. Fair to that, but at least he dances and at least he plays instruments.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to his concerts. He does do full dances.
I bet you have.
He does jump on the drums and play drums. Like, at least he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no one's going to touch a woman because, like, the way that women perform is just next level.
But, yeah.
But there's just different levels.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, maybe that was kind of a weird jump, but I do think there are different levels
of ability to be delusional.
Yeah.
Based on the representation you're provided.
Absolutely.
Based on the access to resources that you're provided. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think being a pop star is such, like, obviously it's so detached from where we are, but I think it's such a great, like, summary of all of it. Because it's like, you can do the minimal amount if you are a white male, and then if a white woman did the same thing, people would rag on her for that. If it was a woman of color, if it was, like, somebody who's bigger, like Lizzo, you know, it's like, it would just keep,
it would just keep. The fact, put it this way, the fact that I was afforded the opportunity and the time to dream big, it says it all.
Yeah.
Because some people aren't.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not lost on me.
So, like, that's definitely something, that's a good thing to bring up and acknowledge for sure, because I have the opportunity to, at night, lay at home and have the time to, the space in my mind to think of dreams.
Yeah.
But I will say also, on the flip side of that, that really helps with my anxiety.
Dreaming
big.
Oh, okay.
Because it almost seems so unattainable that it doesn't stress me out. Because when I dream of, like, when I think of smaller goals, my anxiety is like, oh God, I should be doing that. Or, like, I gotta get that done tomorrow. I gotta get that done by this age, or, like, this, whatever. When I think of, like, really big goals, right, it almost gives my, like, anxious mind a pass, because I'm like, it's probably not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But it's just fun to think about. So I just think, and it's more of a fun, like, it's like creating my own dreams while awake. And it's just fun to think about. Like, can you imagine if that happens?
See,
for me?
You're so the opposite of me, because the one thing that riddles my anxiety is thinking about space, obviously, the ocean, things like that.
Yeah.
But in a similar vein, things that are out of my control give me anxiety. Even if it's something in a dream delusion state.
It gives you
that if there's no, like, tangible ways towards things, that the unknown, anything unknown, anything that I don't have control over, it ruins my life. And there's something else I want to talk about, which I don't know how it's tied to delusion. We were talking about faux wokeness.
This is a form of delusion. I think this is a delusion we're seeing a lot lately.
And I'm not going to say who this person is, but it's something I was very frustrated with.
And it's something in a long line of annoyances, I will say.
Yes. I don't even know how to talk about this, or if I should.
I think you should.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's like, I'll let you voice it. I was going to try and put words in your mouth, but you'd say how you feel comfortable saying it.
I think part of delusion that people don't see is like the delusion of social media. And like, yep, it's so hard to understand who someone is as a person when it's all filtered. And, yes, you know, it's like the whole thing is not even delusion. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion. Yeah. And we've talked about it before, how on this podcast, how it's frustrating for us as people who in certain capacities get to see behind the curtain, yep, of who these people are and not their curated content, that it's frustrating knowing their true selves or knowing what they actually do, yeah, in comparison to what they present and say.
Yeah, and I mean no hate to this person. I hope people don't actually even know who I'm talking about, because yeah, this is, it's not person specific. But anyways, there was a situation probably 2 years ago,
yes,
where I wasn't even there. I heard about it.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
You were there. You saw it firsthand.
Full I was.
My roommate was at a Pride event, mm-hmm, and then the Pride event was turning into a later Pride event.
Mm-hmm.
And so to fill in the same location, mm-hmm, it was like, this is Babes in the Sun at like 12 to
Babes
3.
Babes at Dusk.
Yeah, and then like Babes at Dusk was like 6 to 3 a.m.
Yeah, so we had like a 2-hour gap between the day party and the night party where they, I don't know what they do, wash the fucking place down.
Oh, they fucking steam clean it, power wash it. And so this was before COVID, so.
Yes, so we went for dinner to a restaurant like 2 blocks away, and there was like 10 of us there. Both, it was one of those things because it was the people that had been at the party. So there was a lot of people there that were not necessarily close friends. I'd say closer to 15, yep, but just kind of a group had walked down together. So some people that were close, some people that were not. Needless to say, pretty big group, not just close friends. I think that's important to state.
Yes.
For the roommate's uncomfortableness.
Yes. So my, I guess I shouldn't even say it, but now it's out there. My roommate was describing herself,
yes,
who at the time identified as bisexual.
And keep in mind, this was her first summer out, first Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the time, identified as bisexual, now identifies as lesbian, was using the word gay to describe herself.
Yes.
I'm gay, blah, 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 blah. There was a person,
and it was like, it was one of those things. Like, just
do you want to tell it? You
no,
first hand knowledge.
Just, I guess I can. Okay, I'll just, I just to give like, because I just want people to understand why this was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because it wasn't like we were having an identity conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's important to talk about. It's not like we were sitting there. We had just been day drinking at a party.
That was in a shady way. I mean,
okay,
you should.
Sure. Okay, sure. So we were just at a day party.
Yeah.
You know, having drinks, having fun, dancing. There's a time and a place for queer discussion, right? There's also a safe place or a comfortable place or a level of connection between people where you might be comfortable discussing identity with, yeah, somebody else and what that identity means to you. So why I thought it was important to say it was a large group. Not everyone knew each other very well. And everyone's just having a laugh. It is, no one is going deeper than the weather, okay? Like, we're having a laugh.
Yeah.
And the roommate said, the fact that everyone knows who the roommate, yeah, is, and we still try and keep it incognito. The roommate said something along the lines of, like, oh yeah, like, she did not say gays only, but it was like a joke that would have said gay something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I'm gay, or like, oh, my identity, or like, I identify as gay. It was nothing about that. It was like a joke. It was like, she just used it in a phrase. And this other person pipes up at the table in front of everyone and goes, well, you're not gay. You're bi. Like, and then she's like kind of embarrassed because also this is a group of people she doesn't know.
Yeah.
So the roommate's like, oh, well, yeah. Like, and then kind of second guessing what she had said and everything like this. And this other person, who also, by the way, didn't know anyone fucking at this table either.
Yeah.
Goes, yeah, you told me you were bi. So are you not bi? Are you gay or are you bi? Puts her like on the spot, on blast,
yeah,
in front of fucking everybody. Everyone's like, it was just like the tone, the awkwardness, everything. And then she felt very uncomfortable because she's meeting new people, and then she didn't understand. And I had to like have a separate conversation with her and be like, oh my God, do not worry about it. So many people use gay as an umbrella term.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't, it's none of that person's business to put you on blast about your label or your identity in front of a group of people when they don't even fucking know you. Yeah. Like, this, once again, was not a person that would, she would have even had an identity conversation with in private.
Yeah.
So it was just fucking rude. And so anyways, that's what happened. And she was very uncomfortable. And I said, I say I'm gay all the time. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
But I say I'm gay. Plenty of people.
I say I'm gay all the time. And I'm more so just annoying. But, you know?
Yes.
Like, that's my label.
Plenty of people use gay in the same way as queer.
Absolutely.
As an umbrella term.
Yeah. Well, that's like, even with this fucking podcast, we
say all the time that we're gay.
Or we make an episode title that's like a gay pun.
Gay pun. And it's like, that's not exclusionary to lesbians or pan folks or bi folks or anything else. It's like, no, that's just, it's a pun based on the umbrella gay term, right? So anyways, that's where I will end and you can carry on.
I don't know how to phrase this without...
Okay, anyway, so now this person on social media said something along the lines of, made a piece of content that was saying that it's wrong when people call out bisexual people for saying that they're gay.
Yeah.
And this, 2 years ago, there was no apology, there was no nothing. This person has just, would honestly, if you brought it up, probably wouldn't even remember, would have no awareness of making anyone else uncomfortable, but then yet is going to stand on the soapbox and... spew something completely different.
Yeah.
And this is not a one-time thing. And I will say this. Me just fucking going in. I just think I'm, like, hopped up about this shit because it's, like, I'm not saying that you can't grow and change your mind. And I'm not saying you have to go back and revert to giving everyone else a apology that you ever made a mistake about.
Yeah.
There's plenty of times and plenty of people probably that know me or listen to this podcast and also know me that are like, your opinion from now has changed completely from 3 years ago. So that's very different, like, in the sense of learning. But when it comes to, like, social media influencers, like, acting high and mighty about knowing things, I think we come to this space and we're like, we are learning.
We have no fucking idea.
We also
we
acknowledge, you know, it would be something cool to acknowledge that you didn't know things before.
Yeah.
I think we do that a lot. And I think in my content, I try and do that a lot of saying, because, like, I think it's weird to try and act like you've always known things.
Yeah.
And, like, it's everyone else is wrong for not knowing things. Like, if that person had been like, oh my gosh, I used to not get this, but this is actually, like, really rude or insulting or, like, makes people feel not valid or excluded or whatever it may be, that would be a very different piece of content than acting like they cannot believe that people would ever consider that.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets, that level of delusion with social media gets frustrating, because I think the world would progress a lot farther and people would grow a lot more if people just owned up to the fact that, like, hey, you're going to make mistakes, you're not always going to be right, and your opinion's going to be wrong a lot of the time, and it's going to hopefully change
but
and grow.
Figuring it out is the journey, and this is my journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
us, like, having a pretty good non-outrageous podcast.
Yeah, and then just going off.
And then just going off at the end.
Yeah. Oops.
Some things you just got to get off your chest. Speaking of going off, we're going to be on Patreon doing a bonus episode.
Certainly going off.
But wherever you're listening, make sure to follow or subscribe. Head over to our social media on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. Feeling spicy. Oh,
just spilling drinks.
It's empty.